Skyhawks fans, it's time for Talent Talk. Go behind the scenes with Bob Bonner for a bird's eye view of Fort Lewis College athletics. Hear what makes our coaches and athletes soar. And find out how the Skyhawks are taking it to the top.
Welcome to another episode of Talent Talk. I am your host, Bob Bonner, joined today by members of the Fort Lewis College men's basketball team, head coach Bob Petrak, and a pair of seniors and Captain Junior Garbra and Sekou Dembele. And you guys are riding a hot streak right now, heading into Christmas, winners of 8 straight, hoping to make it 9 against Westminster. And Bob, I know you had high expectations. You were excited about the season coming in. You talked about the possibilities with all these great players coming in and these seniors to sort of anchor the effort. Boy, so far so good. Huh? I mean, it seems I expected you guys to be good, but there's certainly, you've been every bit as good as I expected, maybe even better.
Well, the core of the team left, but we still had 3 championship caliber players returning that understood the ropes of what it takes to win in the league with Junior, Seek, and Obi, and really relying on those 3 to get the kite up in the air, so to speak, and catch up the others as far as the way we want to do things, wearing the target on your back nightly, as we do in the league. And I feel as though all 3 of those guys, but definitely highlighting Sekou and Junior as seniors, really have done a good job of keeping our standard high. And not only when the coaches speak, but when you have senior leadership, you know, backing your message, making sure that the others understand what it's going to take, it really helps it speed up the process of coming together.
Bob, you talked about having a target on your back. You guys won the conference a year ago in the conference tournament. Had a great recruiting class. Everybody, I think, expected Fort Lewis to be one of the front runners in the RMAC. But you mentioned having a target on your back and people coming at you. The style of play you guys employ this year with getting after it defensively for 40 minutes, 90 feet. Boy, it's hard to feel like anybody's attacking you because you guys are just offensively, defensively. It doesn't matter who's on the floor. You guys are going 94 foot and just flat getting after people right now. Is that part of the secret to, you know, holding off the challengers when you are wearing the target is to just always be on the attack, always be on the offensive?
Well, I think part of the way to be successful or stay successful is continue to tweak things and find ways to improve. And as the summer was developing and our recruiting class was coming together, really felt that we could play more aggressive defensively with our depth and with our athleticism and speed. So wanted to take more of an aggressive approach defensively because the roster allows us to. Brought in Coach Jeff Evans, who is a master of the run and jump, man-to-man full court, which we have employed. And it's taken a little bit for us to adopt it, get better at it. But you're starting to see here, as the calendar turned from November to December, and we got into league games, that tree's starting to bear a lot of fruit. We've been getting a lot of turnovers. And what it is doing is making us play with such great energy that it flows into our offense too. So we just got to keep putting our best foot forward, understanding that, you know, Saturday's a tough game, and then each one of these RMAC games, the more RMAC wins you stack, the harder the game has become, and the more important they become.
Junior, this has been a full circle journey for you now to coming in as a freshman with a program needing to, I don't know if you're in rebuilding mode, but definitely looking for a new start. COVID hit. I mean, those were tough times for everybody. But, you know, it seemed like you peaked last year with a championship season. But you get to come back for one more year, come back as the captain. And, bud, you just keep turning it on. I mean, you had a buzzer beater already. You've been the leading scorer a couple of games. You've gone from being a role player to a go-to guy, and it's just sort of been such a steady progression over the years that it's really been fun to watch you become the player you've become. I mean, is this all part of the plan? Did you ever doubt yourself or anything else, or was this all part of the plan for you?
I mean, me personally, I went through a lot of hardship, so there was definitely some doubt in my mind, but I just had to stay faithful to the journey, stay faithful to the process, and just trust in God, honestly, because I put in so much work. And I understand that sometimes, you know, it takes time for, you know, for good food to cook. So I just had to trust the process and keep going. And coming into this season last year, speaking to Coach P, you know, we had a bunch of guys leave and they just sat me down and told me they want me back. And they made me feel wanted. And I asked them what they expected from me. And they said they seen the possibility of me being, you know, one of the guys that they could rely on from night to night. And that's an opportunity I definitely wanted to step into. And step leading a new team, they also told me, like, as a captain, I gotta set the record straight and keep everybody in check and make sure guys are accustomed and get used to the culture that we're trying to establish here. So it was definitely in the cards, honestly, and just appreciate the coaches for trusting me and giving me the opportunity to come back.
Are you still just sort of picking your moments and taking what the game gives you, Junior? You know, it's you've always had scorers around you, right? Whether it's Riley or Aquell or anything else. And boy, sometimes they have a down night and Junior needs to have an up night. But now, Bud, you're someone that I think defenses have to pay attention to. You're not sneaking up on anybody anymore. Have you had to change your approach because of that? Or do you just still sort of take what the game gives you every night?
I just take what the game gives me, go with the flow of the offense. We got 10 elite players that could start on any team in the RMAC. So when you have a roster that deep, you know, you don't try to force, you just let the game come to you. And I trust my teammates trust me. And I think that's what has allowed me to have recent success. And any night could be any other player. There was games started this year where I had 0 points, games where I had less than 10. So like I said, being on a deep roster, anybody's night. So I'm just going in there and I'm just going with the flow of the game and taking what the offense gives me.
Zeke Jr. talked about the depth, and we see that in the post as well. Last year, you were part of a three-headed monster with you and Boat and LaRose being able to challenge people. This year, the same thing with Braden coming in, Isaiah coming in, and it's really impressed me so far. I think the last game, I think you went scoreless. The game before that, Braden went scoreless, and the game before that, Isaiah attempted one field goal. And in the other two guys, in each of those cases, the other two guys were in double digits. The third guy focused on defense and rebounding and contributed in that way. It just seems like it's really, really unselfish that you guys, nobody's worried about minutes. Nobody's worried about filling up stat sheets. The same as I asked with Junior, it just seems like you guys take what the game gives you. Sometimes it's your night. Sometimes it's your teammates' night. How easy is that, or how hard is that to sort of wait your turn and take your opportunities when you get them?
Oh, I think that's the beauty of this team, because Bobby said almost every night, you know, be happy for the guy sitting next to you, you know, and everybody's turn could come, you know, with the depth of this team. It can be anybody at any time. So you just got to be ready, you know, trust the process, do the little things. You know, it's not just about score, you know, do the little things, you know, defend, rebound. So I think this team is just like, you know, we're going through the everybody figuring out the role, you know, not just trying to overdo it, you know, trust the next guy. And you make it really easy, you know, when you trust your teammate and knowing that, okay, if it's not my night tonight, somebody else gonna step up for me. So it's make it really easy.
Coach, both players have talked about the depth, and I referred to the renewed defensive effort this year from you guys and the intensity out there. Is that depth does it mean that everybody can be on the floor, pedal to the metal? I mean, you guys are like a hockey team. It's really, if you can't be going 100% and full speed on the floor, don't worry, there's another guy with fresh legs who can come in and do it. How hard is that, or is it easy finding minutes for everybody? As a coach, are you just taking what the game gives you every weekend as far as personnel matchups?
Yeah. So normally on a really good college team, you're going to play eight, or at least that's what we have done in the past. But I really feel we have 10 guys that absolutely deserve to play. How the minute pie gets divided truly is based on the game flow. there hasn't been one game this year where I've sat down with the rest of the staff and said, hey, I want this guy to play this many. It's just a flow. And so I don't really know. I know all 10 are going to check in. I know all 10 are going to play. What happens from there, I don't really know. So that's the beauty of having so many guys. And it's given me confidence as the leader, because I know that they may not be happy that they didn't play as well as they wanted or didn't get as many minutes as they wanted, but would never they're not going to voice that, and they're just going to do what's best for the team. And as our team has grown throughout the last 2 months, because there's only so many minutes to go around, there's only 200 minutes in a game, mm-hmm. and we got 10 guys, so it's very hard to divide it. I've gained confidence in all of them with their attitude and effort and understanding. Like, if you just look at our season and sample size of 9 games so far, like you referenced earlier, there's been so many other – there's one player today, one player tomorrow, one player this. But I always am preaching, and our staff is preaching to the boys how important it is that if 2 points are scored, it's for Fort Lewis. Whether that was a trap and a breakaway and an extra pass or a drive and kick for a three, obviously the player that scores the basket gets credited with the basket on the stat sheet. But it's really a team point, because everybody most times had their hands in helping it, you know, go through the hoop in that regard. So, and I believe the guys aren't taking that as lip service. I do believe they believe in that and in our plan for each other. And obviously, it's early to talk about it, but we're trying to be playing really meaningful games in February and then all the way through March as long as we can. And the only way to do that is to have everybody on the same page, pulling for each other. And if we do, I really believe we will be.
Junior, how long did that take? Coach said it was you and Seek and Obi returning from a really good basketball team a year ago. And here come all these guys. Boy, they look good on film. They look good on paper, right? But when they, you know, are they going to be guys you can trust? Are they going to be guys who are going to be in rhythm with you? Are, you know, how hard was that for you guys to come together? And was there a moment somewhere in your mind that really sticks out where you guys did come together and maybe figure things out?
I'd say just to start with, the coaches do a good job of, like, when we bring in recruits, like, as players that were returning, we were heavily included in that process. So we got to speak to the guys before they got here. If they came on a visit, we got to go to dinner with them, meet them, you know, hang out with them away from the coaches so we can really grasp and see the type of people they are. So coming into the year, we already knew that every guy that we got was a good person, and on top of that, a great basketball player. So that kind of put us at a good start already, because usually when you got so many people coming in, everybody has to introduce themselves. And I think a good thing we did as a team was we were talking in the summer. We're talking about goals and things we wanted to get done this year. So I feel like we had a head start in that regard. And then coming into the year, honestly, it was challenging to, you know, blend this much talent, because nobody has been on a team this heavily stacked. I mean, me personally, I think the only time in my life was when I was at a powerhouse prep school. We had our growth pains, you know, there was times where we felt like it was kind of miserable, but we had trusted the process. And I really think we gelled second half for Eastern. You know, we had a tough loss against Angelo, a game where we really gave up and we definitely should have won. And we had to look ourselves in the mirror and just recognize, like, the season is going to go where we want to take it. No matter what the coaches say, it's up to us. And we got all the talent in the world. On paper, we're probably the best team in the country, if I'm being honest, if you're looking just at depth and from 1 to 10. So the second half of the Eastern game, we really came together and got a tough win on the road. And I feel like that spurred us forward. And then we had times in practice where the coaches really challenged us and pushed us to really accept the challenge of how great can we truly be. You know, there's a standard we're trying to hold, and there's something we're trying to reach. Like Coach said, we're trying to play for as long as we can in March. And if that's the standard, then we have to hold ourselves to that standard each and every day. So to just summarize, I think we really clicked the Eastern second half, and then the following weeks after that with some really tough practices and being challenged by the coaches.
Seek Jr. talked about the practices. That's got to be another thing that comes with depth. You guys have got to be able to challenge each other in practice on a level that most college teams can't, because you can go 5-on-5 with 5 starters, with five guys, as Junior said, that are good enough to start on any RMAC team. You go 5-on-5 and it's like an RMAC showdown at practice every day. I mean, do you guys just get after each other? Was that part of coming together? Was that process of getting after each other, testing each other on the floor in practice? Did that build that faith, that trust for you guys?
Oh yeah, definitely. I remember the first few, even before we start practice, the first few open gym we did, you know, with all the coaches, it was really competitive. You know, first few times guys get together, you know, get to play, and each other really bringing in, you know, the intensity. You know, so since then I was like, okay, like, it's going to be a good year. And, you know, with the coaches, you know, emphasizing on their, you know, on the competitive level, you know, trusting them, you know, when they share, you know, their experience about a championship team. You know, myself, Junior, you know, OB being part of last year, we knew how intense it was, you know, and how hard it gets, you know, throughout the year. So we had to make sure, you know, set the tone in practice, you know, bring toughness, you know. Honestly, the guys really responded really well. You know, each player that the other coaches brought, every chip on the shoulder, you know, so they all want to prove something. So, you know, getting all together, you know, being really competitive at practice, like, sometimes our practice is really hard on the game. You know, that's how we really feel like we really, because we have to guard each other, and it's really hard. It's like 10 good players, you know, really going at it against each other like for like 2 hours. And in the game, like sometimes, oh, that's easy, you know, we don't have it's just like now we're a team. So we're like a tag team, you know, oh, this guy go and guard this guy, come out, and another one. And also it's miserable for the other team, but like for us, it's just like, oh, we've been there, you know, like in practice, we go through that every day.
So coach, when did you know you had a pretty good basketball team? Again, you'd seen them, you recruited them. We talked even in the summer that, wow, it looks like this is going to be good. Did you know the first time you got them all together in practice, or when did you realize that you might have something special with this group?
Well, again, you know, it started even though we lost so many players off of last year's 29-4 team. You know, we returned 3 championship players, and our mindset in the recruiting was, let's build around the guys we have. I mean, we have a first-team all-league talent in OB, had a captain coming back that understood what we wanted, and then had a starting caliber big. Although we had lost a lot, we still had some real pillars to build on. So it wasn't like we were pouring concrete. We already had some pillars to build on. But as it started to shape up and we got to know the guys better, I'd say about mid-October, I knew that we were going to be very competitive. How competitive? You don't really know till the lights go on, and then how it gels, and who, you know, how unselfish can somebody be? We try to lead an egoless program, starting with me. There's no entitlements. There's no nothing. Everybody's got to pull their weight, and everybody's got to do everybody's job if the time calls for it. But once you saw the personalities, and you saw the leaders take shape, and you saw it all blending together, I knew the picture eventually is going to be pretty good. I still think we have a long way to go to reach this team. Obviously, we haven't peaked yet, but I've said this before. It's like painting a picture. If you got some really good paints and so you got some really good brushes and you got everybody wanting it, as the year goes on, the picture gets pretty clear. And I think that's what happened last year too. You know, we started off not picked to win the league, unranked. And then as the year went on, the picture got clear. Like, dang, these guys are pretty good. So if the buy-in continues, the unselfishness continues, I believe the winning will continue.
You talk about buy-in and belief, Bobby, and I came into Wayland for the first time a little over 4 years ago now, and there's a lot of banners on the wall. You could really feel the basketball tradition here at Fort Lewis College just the second you walked into the gym. But we weren't at that performance level. We hadn't performed in those first couple of years I was here at that level. But you were one of the guys telling me, wow, this place, where do you see this place when we get it going? You guys have got it going. You got it going last year. Wayland Gymnasium is now turning into, that's going to be a tough place for anybody to come into. It's a great atmosphere. the women's team enjoying some success. It's always nice when that leading game is a good one for you. This is kind of the atmosphere. This is how much is this feeling like the glory days of Fort Lewis basketball? Are we nearing a place where you're comfortable saying, wow, yeah, this is what Fort Lewis basketball is and always has been?
Yeah, so I thought the crowd the last two nights, we haven't had the crowd, I guess, the last three home games. We had two games over Thanksgiving, no crowd, no students. We've always had great town support, win or lose. We've had great support in the town. But we're teaching them that if they come, they're going to see a product that is high level. We're going to play really hard, and it's going to be exciting. So I think if you keep producing the product, the students will want to keep coming to see it. But electric atmosphere. We've been successful the last 2 years at home. We got the best home record of anybody in the RMAC the last 2 years at home. If you put the both years together, and early in my career where we were 2 out of 3 in the championship, that's exactly where we hung our hat, was being close to unbeatable at home. I think we went 50-2 over a stretch, and I think we got it back to that type of level, especially when the students are here, that if you come in here, you got to play an A+. To be with us, and if we have the energy, if our energy is correct, we're going to be tough to beat at 7,000 feet.
Well, and it was fun. Johnny Cox had to love it. A lot of football recruits in town last weekend. That student section was something else. Junior, you've been here for 4 years. You've been in there when the gym's been pretty empty. Right now, there's a lot of energy in Whalen Gymnasium. How much does that feed you? How important is that? Or do you just sort of shut everything out when you're on the floor?
Me personally, I feel like I definitely recognize the importance of the crowd. And honestly, I've been here when there's been, you know, COVID years when you couldn't even have fans in the gym and it was just us on the bench cheering and chanting for each other. But I feel like the energy that the crowd brings, like, it fuels us. But one thing it really does is it makes other teams uncomfortable. Because you got players in the front, you got football players, you got other athletes in the front row, you have students that just come to support, and they're talking to the players, getting them, getting in their heads, getting engaged. And I feel like as a player that's been in a road atmosphere that has been like very, very loud and just busy, like it's hard for you to simply just focus on the game. Like, you're trying to get the play call from coach, you can't even hear what coach is trying to run. You got people chirping at you in the crowd. And I feel like that just gives us a great advantage because, like Coach said, we're already in altitude, ready at 7,000 feet. So you're trying to think the game, and now you got people yelling at you, and then your pride is getting in the way. And I feel like it just puts us in a position to be super successful, and then it messes with the other players. So as a player, I love it. Honestly, I love when the crowd gets into it. I love when they do their chants. I love when they're talking to the other players, because it just means a lot to us all. So having the fans there, you know, to support us and just push us and rally behind us, it just makes it that much better.
Seek, how about you? You know, we talk about Junior's journey being a long one. Junior came across the Pacific Ocean to play basketball at Fort Lewis. You came across the Atlantic Ocean, started as a soccer player. This feels like what you see on TV right now. You guys are that good a team. You are that fun to watch. The gym has got great energy. How does this compare as far as your basketball experience over the course of your life? You've been on a long road to get here. How rewarding is it right now? Is this pretty big for you?
Yeah, definitely. I've been in college for a few years now. You know, like Junior said, you know, been through COVID years. My goodness, COVID, you know, where, you know, you don't have anybody in the gym pretty much. You know, yeah, the energy had to come from your own team. And now having like extra support, you know, is really like, it definitely means a lot to the players, and especially when we're going on the run, you know, having everybody on their feet, you know, give extra fuel to the player. It's something that, you know, as a player, like, it's really hard to explain, especially when you're on the court, you know, you just pounding all the team, and, you know, all you heard, you have like guys on the sideline, you know, cheering for you, you know, like, it's really great.
Bobby, it sounds like your players are each other's biggest fans. How much do you get to be a fan of these guys? I talked to you. We talked before games, man. You said something to me a few weeks ago. It didn't matter what game it was. exhibition, you know, whatever. When you start the clock going and your team goes on the floor, you're in coaching mode. Do you ever let yourself, do you get to be a fan? Do you get to just appreciate and enjoy this team? Or will that be for after when the season's done, you can look back and do that?
No, I think it would probably be after the season. I think kind of the head coach's job is to keep the ship sailing in the right direction, no matter what fees you get. And sometimes the fees are easier, sometimes they're rougher, but it'd be my job to make sure that where the ship's going, where it needs to go. But in all the seasons, you know, we've had some really good ones. I've also had some ones that I'd like to have back, but I think you look at it at the end of it and you're, you know, you're proud of your effort. I've always judged the seasons like this, and this is a good way, a barometer of how successful the season was, is at the end of it all, when you give the hugs at the end of the year and you hug a student athlete and hugs you back, you'll be able to tell how much it meant to them and you. And I know last year those hugs were hard because our team had put so much into it and had experienced so much together. And I think this year is shaping up that way where the hugs, win or lose, it has to end. So as a coach, one of the greatest things is just, hey, man, how good are those hugs at the end? And you don't always get them. There's some hugs where you're just like, all right, that was, see you later. And then you get some hugs like Scotty Stafford last year where you're like, oh, my goodness, I don't want to let this kid go. And that's really what coaching is. And obviously the buy-in and all the emotions normally comes from the winning, right? Winning is gas to the operation. So the more we can have of that, the better this thing's going to get, the better the buy-in is always. And as the year goes on, I think our guys understand, and I've been warning them, just having the experience of doing this before and getting three teams to the finish line, that every time we play, it's the other team's biggest game, and that we have to be prepared to play and understand that each time you get a win and you start stacking a win on another win, that they want to beat you even worse. So our attention and detail preparation is going to be high, and we're going to kick it into just another gear as this season gets into the second semester.
So, Junior, what's left? What goals have you got left for yourself, for your team this year? It's been a heck of a journey. Where does the road go? Where do you want it to finish up? And then where does your road go after basketball's done?
So only goal on my mind is sweeping the RMAC. So both regular season conference and then that conference tournament. And then after playing in the regional last year and just watching the success, you know, one of our opponents had, I really want this team to get to the Elite Eight and keep pushing and see how far we could go once we, you know, get to Nashville. So that's really the main thing on my mind, honestly. I just want nothing but team success, and I really want to win the RMAC and play in that regional game, and just, I want to host the regional. I just really want to get to that national tournament game, if I'm being completely transparent. But me personally, this has been on my mind since I first picked up a basketball. The goal is to play professional basketball. So once I'm done with Fort Lewis, explore professional avenues, potentially sign with an agent, and just see where it takes me from there.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm with you with hosting regionals. I want that
too. Yeah, I'm fine. After last year, you know, I feel like you just keep it spade to spade. We got robbed, you know, blatantly. So that's definitely on the list for sure, hosting that regional and allowing the town of Durango to experience something that fun and that awesome. So,
yeah, you and me got the same goal there. How about you, Seek?
Pretty much the same, you know, like Junior said, you know, not hosting the regional last year, you know, was really hurtful. And for us coming back is one of the main goals. Get as far as we can, you know. And with the team we have, we definitely capable of. For now, does the main goal.
What's it going to take, Bobby, to finish out and reach the goals you guys have obviously set for yourselves?
No, it's going to take, I think, the preparation individually as a team on each game and trying to focus on going 1-0, which is coach speak, but it's actually true. Like, We can talk about all this right now. We need to focus on Westminster and being ready to play tomorrow and playing with great energy and passion and understanding what we got to do defensively, and then understanding what they're trying to do to us offensively to play better. But one of the best leagues in the country, the RMAC, year in and year out. Again, we have ranked teams receiving votes, but it'll come down to the team that can focus the best. That's really what it's about. It's who can focus, who can execute, who cannot have lulls, especially on the road. What team can get out of traps when you get in traps like we did last year at Metro? Who can avoid the big hit? You got to get a little lucky along with it. But if you put yourself in position to day in and day out, like these conference championships, they're not won on a one-game thing. This is a 22-game schedule, so there's 22 of them, and they all count the same. So if you don't come ready to play and you cough one up, it could cost you big. Like I'll give an example. Last year we played, we didn't play very well. Westminster played great in Utah, and that one loss ended up costing us severely. So we're trying to learn from that and just take care of the games that we can take care of. And then when that game's over, we'll turn our attention to the next opponent and go from there.
So Junior, in the midst of all this, both of you guys I already alluded to crossed an ocean to come to Durango, Colorado and play basketball. Like to give everybody a chance on the podcast. You want to say hi to anybody at home or give a shout out to anybody before we're done today?
Definitely want to give a shout out to my parents for sure. And just my siblings, my younger siblings, my older siblings for sure. I don't know if they're, you know, going to get the opportunity to see this, but yeah, definitely just want to shout out my family.
Zeke, what about you? You want to say hi to anybody?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm going to see in France, so just in case they get a chance to see. Okay, I'll just salut my family, mon père, ma mère, mais mon petit frère et ma soeur, pour le support.
Bob, I'd like to shout out our entire athletic department. In my 24 years at Fort Lewis, we've never had a more supportive athletic department top to bottom, led by Travis, of course. But the amount of support that we get on a daily basis, whether it's Travis or our sports information director, Hayden, coming into practice, top to bottom in the athletic department, we have wonderful support. The coaches feel it, and that bleeds down to the team. And the environment in which we're doing this in is extremely healthy, and it really helps. So just shout out them as well.
Yeah, it is. The department and the college they feel like a pretty special place this year. And I think you guys are part of that equation too. Your success from a year ago, I think, helped get a ball rolling at a time when the department was probably a little down and hadn't had a lot of success for a few months at least. So thanks to all of you guys for the role you played in that, because it's a lot of fun to come to work right now. And you guys are part of the reason for that. So appreciate it from all of you. And thanks for joining us here today, guys.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you for having us. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob.
Yep. And thanks to everybody for listening in. Until next time, folks, keep soaring all the way to the top.